This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Today, we're looking at the lyric we just sang, worship when the end draws near. Worship when my strength is failing. Worship when my time has come. And we're called as a church to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And today on Mother's Day, we do both. We rejoice and we mourn at the same time. We're rejoicing today as we celebrate Mom. So help me celebrate Mom today. I love this day. I love watching people bring Mom in. Some of them have wheeled Mom in. Some have helped Mom in. But I just met some parents who were here before their kids, and there aren't many seats left in this service. And they said, you want them for all your kids? No, they're on their own. So they're probably over at the chapel, and Mom and Dad are here. We're grateful for that. But we rejoice over many who I saw come in who are expecting. We rejoice with you. We're grateful and look forward to having your child in Critter Street. We look forward to your baby dedication. Some of you just received word that you're expecting. We rejoice with you. But we also, and this is what makes church life challenging at times, is when we mourn and rejoice all at the same time. And today we mourn with you who have lost Mom. And I saw several posts this week who this is your first Mother's Day without your mom. And we mourn with you. For some of you, you've lost a child. And I've heard from several people in our congregation this week who lost young children. Some have miscarried. There are some who doctors have told them after trying all sorts of fertility treatments and all of that, the doctor said, you cannot conceive. And with all, we mourn through all of that with you. We rejoice and we mourn on Mother's Day. And we're grateful that you've chosen to make this a special day. Today, we're going to talk about worshiping when the end draws near. And you're like, that's just kind of an odd Mother's Day message. But hopefully, you will be encouraged and challenged in your faith today through the Word of God. We have a lot of scripture to get through today, so we're going to jump right into it. And I know there's some senior adults in here that when you see this on the screen, I want you to amen it if you think this is true. Aging ain't for wimps.
Amen.
Boy, was much louder at 8:30. I got to be real honest with you. Aging ain't for wimps. How many of you are feeling the effects this very morning of aging? Would you raise your hand? Look around the room. Don't need your rocking chair, you were saying on the way in. Your geritol or your Medicare. Yeah, aging ain't for wimps. And we have a passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, that uses the word picture of the house to describe the body. A house to describe the body. And just talking about that for just a second, there's a ton of young people in here going, well, this is a message for old people. This isn't for me. Isn't it something, as we talk about aging, and as we get one of the clearest descriptions of aging and the body aging in Scripture, it's addressed to you, young person. It's addressed to the young people in the room who aren't thinking about aging at all. Like, you last night ate whatever you wanted to eat without giving thought to your metabolism, without giving thought to, well, I have to get up in the middle of the night and deal with this. You, how many of you, that's you? You ate last night and drank whatever you wanted, and it just didn't bother you. ATL, put your hand down. We're going to talk about your gray hair in just a second. But yeah, you gave it. But watch how this passage starts off. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember here isn't just acknowledge God. It's in your words, in your actions, in your beliefs, in your life, with your whole life. Think through your Creator. Make the most of your age. Make the most of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. That's called aging. There are days coming where you're going to have to think through what you eat. There are days coming when the waitress comes to take your drink order at 6 p.m. at night. You're going to look at your watch. No, I can't have anything to drink now. No. After 3, I can't have tea. Is it caffeinated? I mean, you haven't thought about any of that. But the day's coming where you're gonna. Yeah, amen. And it seems that you tell these young punks, do something with their lives. But look, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Now, we said at the beginning of this series, as we asked questions to God, we asked some questions in the first 2 weeks that didn't really, are you going to continue to worship even when you don't have clear answers? Today, we have clear answers when it comes to life and death. And we're going to see this in the scripture. The answers are there for us. We will know them. Will you worship? And I want to make sure we go back to what we said in week one. And remember, don't confuse your preferences with the promises of God. Like, my preference is that as I age and when I die, I don't suffer. That's my preference. How many of you would prefer not to suffer on your deathbed? Would you raise your hand? Look around. Yeah, it's our preference. But guess what? That's not been promised to us. Now, we are promised that one day there will be no more pain, no more suffering, and no more mourning. The first funeral I ever did as a pastor, I was actually asked to lead the worship at it, and the dad, it was a young mom who lost the fight to breast cancer, and her two teenage daughters sat on the front row, and dad was there, and he said, Ted, would you sing Beulah Land? And you haven't heard Beulah, it's a Southern gospel song, but man, I gave it my best shot to sing Beulah Land. I'll never forget that dad getting up and coming around to his two daughters and hugging them as their thoughts had changed and their thoughts were on heaven. The day where there'll be no more mourning, there'll be no more tears. Pain will no longer, sorrow and suffering, gone. But here, I'm not promised that. And the day's coming where I'm gonna say I find no pleasure in them. And staying alive is like a part-time job. I've had senior friends that I invite them to do something and they're like, oh, I better check and see what my appointments are today. Because they got stuff to go do and they're being taken care of and they're looking after their health. Now watch how this picture, this word picture carries through verses 2-5. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, your vision becomes impaired and the clouds return after the rain. And here we get this image of the house. When the keepers of the house, this is speaking of the hands and the arms, when they lose strength. How many remember when grandpa used to be able to whoop you? And then that day came where you're like, I think I can take him. Because he didn't have the strength. And strong men stoop. You see this. They make their way along. And their legs, speaking there of the legs and knees and just being more crippled in the legs and not being able to get along like you used to. When the grinders cease because they are few. You know what that is? That's your teeth. Your teeth are going. You took care of them. You got your cleanings. You did dental appointments and all that. But you know you weren't given teeth to last hundreds and hundreds of years. Your teeth are falling apart. Those looking through the windows grow dim. I had to go back to Pearle Vision this week. They didn't. It's almost like fish line that holds the bottom of these glasses in. And when I got them a couple of weeks ago, that line wasn't tight. And I pulled them out of my bag. It's a true story. I pulled them out of my bag, and that lens had popped out and was left in my bag. And I put them on. I'm like, oh boy, here it is. Here it is. It's starting. I'm not seeing real well this morning. Oh, it's not there. Okay, so. And it's like you. Have you ever walked around the house? Honey, have you seen my glasses anywhere? This is aging. It's not for wimps. Now watch verses 4 and 5. This is fascinating to me in these two verses. What used to be a normal part of life that we actually take for granted becomes very threatening in old age. Becomes difficult. Going out, you know, in your youth, you just hop in the car and you go somewhere, you do what you got to do, and you get home. You don't give it a second thought. But as you get older, you look like you got to plan it. I mean, my parents, they plan routes where they never have to take a left-hand turn. How many of you are at that point where I'm like, I'm definitely not making that left-hand turn? But we never would have thought about that in our 20s or our 30s. When the doors to the street are closed, and we used to have a term we used a lot in church growing up, the shut-in. We had a shut-in ministry to those who couldn't even get out of the house anymore. They didn't have the ability. The sound of grinding fades. I've lost my eyesight, and I'm losing teeth. And now I'm losing my hearing. Amy called me 3 weeks ago and said, I made 2 appointments with Travis for you. And if you're new to our church, Travis is our ear, nose, and throat doctor in town. And I said, 2 appointments, what's going on? She goes, at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, he's going to clean out your ears. And then at 11:30, you go back for a hearing test. And this is all over the phone. And I'm like, I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm just like, a lot of guys would be like, man, what did I do? Like, what didn't I do? that I was supposed to. And so I went in for the test, and Travis did a great job. He cleaned out my ears. I went back at 11:30 for the hearing test. Well, it turns out I don't have a hearing problem. My hearing is fine. And I had a moment where I'm sitting, and I didn't even see this coming. I'm sitting in this box. They put you in this completely sealed box, a vent in it. It's so sealed. You got to have air blown into you. They put it on, and they're going to give you 3 beeps in each ear. They're going to change in all the frequency and all of that. And I heard all the beeps, but there was a moment where I'm like, now, I'm a man of integrity. But she gives me the next 3 beeps. I should probably tell her I don't hear them. Like, I should probably fail this test for the sake of my marriage, and all the men said. But I passed with flying colors, so we got other things we're working on. The sound of grinding fades. When people rise at the sound of birds, I love, this is so seer. It's like you're so rested because you aren't doing a whole lot. You're not expelling a ton of energy. You go to bed so early. I heard the story of that senior couple. They got up, they made breakfast, and he's sitting at the table, and he realizes, wow, the sun's coming in on the wrong side of the kitchen. And he realizes they had gone to bed so early, they got up before the sun set. That's called old age, and all the seniors said, yeah, you can go to bed, you're not tired. But all they're hearing these birds, but the songs are growing faint because they're losing their hearing. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. I think as we listen to this, it's like, okay, we're talking about the body breaking down and aging. I think a good lesson for us in our youth, for those in your youth, that we would learn to be more patient with these folks. Like when you're at Sunfest and the lady's writing a check, and it takes 3, 4, 5 minutes. She's practicing her penmanship. And you're like, man, I got to get home. And patience. When you're driving down the road, man, we've got to be patient. They're driving. They're not punching it. Some seniors do. But a lot of them have slowed down their driving. Their reactions, right? Their responses aren't that great. So they've slowed it way down. I was in the DMV here in town, true story. And I was there when they were telling a gentleman, a much older senior, that, you know, you're not getting your license. That was hard. That was hard to watch. That was hard to listen to. Heights 5 goes on. When the almond tree blossoms, speaking here of the hair turning gray, and I look around the room, I just look around you and see all the blossoming almond trees in the room. There's a lot of them. This is a great sign. And the grasshopper drags itself along, so you just get this idea of we're not moving real fast. We're getting to where we need to go. And I'm going to teach this just as the Bible proclaims it. And desire no longer is stirred. I looked through multiple scholars and commentaries on this one to make sure I was accurate as I learned it 20 years ago. But this is speaking of sexual desire. Sexual desire goes away. And if the Bible doesn't make you smile and chuckle from time to time, I don't think you're reading it right. Because after you lose sexual desire, then you die. This is it. This is the scripture. Some of you are like, Mom, he's not always like this. This is just, we cover other topics. I apologize. You brought your mom from the Catholic Church this morning. And desire is no longer stirred. And he could have put that up in verse 3. But that's right here. Desire is no longer stirred. The end is near. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Whenever I read verse 5, I think about something I heard Lee Strobel say. When you die, we will put you in a box. We will put your stuff in a box. We'll have a little potato salad. And then we'll go on. And this is exactly what Ecclesiastes talks about in all 12 chapters. In chapter 1, it says, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. You and I are born. The sun comes up and the sun goes down, ever returning to its place. All rivers and streams flow to the sea, but the sea is never full. This is life. And as I thought about it this week, I saw this picture. And this is Amy and I, because I'm convinced. I love when I see spouses together and enjoying life together. You know this. I always try to show you pictures holding. She, you know, I have a condition called vasovagal that's triggered by fatigue and human suffering. I can't explain it, but I pass out 4, 5, 6 times a year. And random spots. I never know. I just try to avoid the triggers at all costs. And the 2 years ago on a plane, I passed out. And she was with me there to be there with me, taking my pulse, making sure everything's good. And but she wasn't with me last Wednesday when I passed out on a flight from Denver to Charlotte. I decided I'm not going to do a hotel. I'm just going to take the red eye. And it's a 1 a.m. flight, which is a dumb thing to do. I wasn't in that much of a rush to get to the next event. But I got on the plane and conked out, just fell asleep. I'm in 3C. And I wake up at 3 a.m. and it had to be the fatigue trigger. I'm passing out, and I can't explain. I got 60 to 90 seconds. So I've never had this happen where I wake up to pass out. And I immediately think, man, I got to get to the bathroom quick. And for my senior friends, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I jump up, and that's the dumbest thing you can do when you're about to pass out. I jump up, and I head toward the restroom, and then I get halfway there. It's not a far distance from 3C to the front restroom, and I realize I ain't going to make it. So I turn back around, and I realize, and I'm not going to be that guy that brings a plane down between Denver and Charlotte for an emergency reason. I hate that. I don't want to be that guy. And so I just grab a seat, and I turn around, and I flop down, knowing this is it, and I'm about out. But I sat down in 2C, not 3C, right on a woman's lap. And I can't explain it, but I'm tired. I'm like, if you ever, you know, you get awoken in the middle of the night, you don't know what's going on, and you're like, okay, what? And you're just not all together there. Well, I have that, plus I'm going out, and this lady starts shoving me to get me off of her. Well, I feel like I'm coming under attack. I start throwing elbows. I'm like, what is... Like, I just wasn't comprehending what was going on at 3 a.m. at 30,000 feet over, you know, Kansas. And then the husband starts pushing me. They finally push me into the aisle, and I kind of come to, I get up, and I look in, and I go, I'm so sorry. I'm about to pass out, and I turn around, and I passed out in 3C, and I get off the plane. I'm like, oh, I've got to tell Amy this. I was going to keep it from her, but we don't keep secrets, because I knew what this was going to do, because it's her big thing. She says, we're getting you a service animal, and I'm going, babe, I am not going to be traveling around the country with a chihuahua. And you got to explain to me, what is a chihuahua going to do to keep me from passing out? She goes, well, you're not doing any more red eyes, right? She's just reminding me as she, this is Amy walking behind me. Come on, Grandpa, let's get going. She's reminding me, things about your life are changing. Like, you're getting older. And I had a friend and a mentor, Dr. Gary Smalley. This was my last time speaking with Gary. He had rented a scooter in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. We were at a conference together, and they didn't give him a workshop, but he and Norma were there, and I said, hey, Gary, you can have as much of my workshop as you want. I'd love for it. It was the last time that he ever spoke to an audience, but he said before we went in, he goes, hey, just push me out into the courtyard, because he loved that sun beating on him. Those of you up there in years, just, you know, that I could never stand eating outside, trying to eat, and just baking, but he would just sit there, like this, and he slumped over, and people kept coming into my room, which was near here, where I was setting up the projector and stuff, and they said, can you go check on Dr. Smalley? He is out in the courtyard, and I don't think he looked. I go, he's just napping, but Gary always cracked up, and our joke was, he said, whenever you come out to get me, check my pulse. Just because he always wanted to make people laugh, so just check his pulse and do it. But I watched him, and I have the video of him, I didn't bring it this morning, video of him going down the path on this scooter. And he went to be with the Lord about 6 months later. But aging ain't for wimps. And I'm grateful that I've had many people in my life who have taught me how to age well. Because there's something else, I just always want to share this. There are many people in here who are caring for parents who are aging. And today, we need to just honor you to think that this isn't easy. To care for someone whose body is breaking down, whose mind begins to go. But I'm reminded of 1 Timothy 5, that there is great honor in providing for your family and caring for your family. It's hard. It's difficult. We're not even talking about your aging. We're talking about the aging of a parent or a grandparent that you're taking care of. Aging is not for wimps. But there, let's get into some more of these truths today. And here's a big one. Life is brief and fragile. Scripture has so many word pictures to describe how brief life is. And for those of you in your youth, please listen to these next three big ideas from the scripture. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, we read, our days may come to 70 years or 80. This is not a guarantee. This is just the general lifespan, if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. Here upon this earth, we're not promised suffering-free zones, that it's going to happen. For they quickly pass and we fly away. And James, so we got quickly pass. You get this idea of a mist or a vapor. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's what Solomon was doing in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. You're here for a little while and then you're gone. But guess what? The grind of this earth keeps going. The sun's still going to rise and it's still going to set and the rivers and streams are still going to flow. You're here for a little while and then you're gone. In Psalm 39, we get this idea of a handbreadth. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. The psalmists were always doing this. Teach me to count my days. Teach me to understand the time that I have is short, and that I would make the most of it. That's the key. This is why that song, a country song we all loved from years ago, and it's still on the radio, in my next 30 years. When you get that health scare in your 30s, when you get the doctor's report, it begins to change you. You begin to think about life a little bit different. But you and I shouldn't wait for an event like that. As followers of Christ, this is how we live our lives. In anticipation of the Lord's return and understanding the certainty of death, we're to live to make the most of the time we have left. Not as the world does it, but as we've been called to, and as we'll see Paul share in just a moment. Let me know how fleeting my life is. Psalmist was always crying out with it. You have made my days a mere hand, but the span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Even those who feel like, no, I've got plenty of time left. Be mindful of your Creator. Be mindful of your days. Life is short and life is fragile. You're not promised tomorrow. Death is certain, but not the end. And all God's people said. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 2, for death is the destiny of every person, and the living should take this to heart. That's what a funeral is. When you go to the house of mourning, you're taking to heart the death of someone. You should also be taking to heart your death. It's at a funeral that you realize life is short. Some of you just came through graduation, and at graduation, you're reminded of what? This was fast. Like they were born yesterday, and now they're leaving. Death is certain. The Lord does not return. It is a guarantee. The mortality rate is still at 100%. But here's what we can say amen to as well. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Life is short. It's fragile. Death is certain, but not the end. And then this is probably the toughest part. This is the toughest truth we have to wrestle with today. That the memories of those who die fade over time. That we don't want to be a people that spends all of our time trying to keep our name remembered. And in the scripture puts it this way in Psalm 103. As for man, his days are like grass. We got vapor. We got mist. We got passed quickly like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And whenever I think of this, I think about how much I love my yard right now. How many of you love your yard in May? Your yard looks awesome, but come July, not so much. Like I'm always telling us, we pull out of the driveway, everybody look at the flowers and look at the grass. It's awesome. And come July, we're going to be like, it's so brown. The wind blows over and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. The daughter of Billy Graham, I like what she says. And she puts it this way. When I have faced the death of a loved one or stood by the casket of a close friend, the temporariness of life has come into clear focus. One moment the person was thinking and feeling and speaking and hearing and loving. The next moment, he or she is silent and still and gone. The sorrow is magnified when we realize that unless there are people who make an effort to keep the memories alive, that person will soon be forgotten. This is a tough truth for us to wrestle with, but if you really begin to understand this, it'll change the way you live. Don't live to get your name left on a building. Get to the end of your life knowing I have poured into my children, I have poured into my grandchildren, I have poured into people. Because the only two things that last are the Word of God and people. The Word of God and people. The buildings will go away. I shared this years ago at Liberty University, because you go to a college campus, there's names on every building. You go to Springfield, there's one name that's on a lot of buildings, but guess what? 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, let me tell you, no one's going to know who that is. That's just reality. And I said it to Liberty students, I said, you walk under names every single day, multiple times a day, and you walk under, you don't have a clue who these people are. Because our names are forgotten. Ecclesiastes 9 puts it this way in verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. And even their name is forgotten. It's probably a good time to say, Happy Mother's Day. But if you really get this, it'll change the way you live. It's not about being remembered. And we live in a culture that says brand, brand, brand. Brand yourself. Get your name out there. Like, make your name sound, man, if you can get a viral video with your name attached to it, guess what? It won't matter years from now. Because your name will be forgotten. So here's the bottom line. How you live is far more important than how long you live. If you're really obsessed with the quality of life, and we have elders who do a great job leading people and helping people with the quality of their life, but what I love is they truly understand, I want to give you a better quality of life so you can serve people. Not just so that you can live long to have your name on. No, 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 that's not what we're pursuing. We're pursuing that we can be healthy to help other people, that we can live well. How you live, way more important than how long you live. Don't obsess over how many years you have. 70 you may have, 80 if you're strong. You may not even have that many because you're not promised tomorrow. So make the most of the time you have. Do something with the time you have left. And bottom line is this, what you pass on is far more important than being remembered. Now, I say during the grief cycle, it's very important when people are grieving. I always like to call somebody a couple of months after they've lost a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or a child, because that in the grief process, that's very important, because they when they begin to feel these truths, 2-3 months down the road, man, we've gone back to life. The grind of life has started again, and I just had moments in the day, or I maybe just spent half the day not thinking about my loved one that I lost, and that's a great time to call someone and tell them a story. Or to speak that person's name. We say it around here all the time. You know, don't avoid saying someone's name for fear of what that person might say. Speak their name. It's important in the grief cycle. But the memories fade over time. It's what we leave behind. It's how we live our lives now. Make the most of the time. Paul put it to Timothy this way. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And this is the illustration of the drink offering we get from Numbers 28 of wine being poured on the altar or on the ground. And he's just saying, that's what I feel like right now. And I want you to see the emphasis here. It wasn't, in my best years, in my prime years, I served the Lord. No, Paul in this text is making it very clear that I'm up until my very last breath, I will be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Up until my very last breath, I will be worshiping. I am going to make the most. I am being poured out, and the time for my departure is near. I'm not gone yet. I'm almost gone, but I'm going to continue to be poured out until that day comes. May that be your prayer. May that be your commitment, that you won't be one of these hot and cold Christians that has good seasons and rough seasons, and man, I was really on fire there, man. I was pouring into people there, but then I got into me, me, me. The Westminster Confession says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The chief end of man is not man. The chief end of you is not you. Your chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Paul said, my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm going all the way. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me to me on that day, the reward for the faithfulness of believers. And not only to me, but to all the believers who have lived with this hope of his return. We've lived with this hope of his return, and we wanted to be caught serving the Lord. We wanted him to return with us fully engaged in investing in the lives of other people. And I guess that's one of the things I love about my Paul. I was young Timothy to Gary, and this is Gary at the Opryland a few minutes after that picture was taken of him in his cart. You can see it parked over there. I got three guys off the front row to help me lift him up and put him in that chair. And it was a great moment because he wanted to share seven keys of lifelong love that he had just in his last book that he wrote. And I heard him say, I'm going to just share with you briefly seven keys to lifelong love. And I went, oh boy, I better have these ready, because is he going to remember all seven? He had about three of them down. And then it was a pretty precious moment. People went on Amazon to look up the book, and they saw the seven keys like in the advertisement. And Gary, after he got through three, he would go, and number four. And he's trying to think, and then somebody would yell up number four. He'd go, oh, yeah, that's a good one. And okay, all right, so, and he would share on number four. Number five. Somebody would yell up number five. Oh, I love that one. That's a good one. Number six. Did I say that? Yeah, I said that. I love that. That's good. This is his last time. He never stopped pouring. And somebody's like, well, I'm not a speaker. Yeah, you are. Because as you hold your grandchildren, this is Grandma Mary Jane, who went to be with the Lord at 90, holding my daughter Corinne. Just, I want you to think through. Listen, you can retire from a job. We're not going to get into that big debate and argument today. Retire from your job. Do something different. Our whole town's built off of the idea of retirement. But don't ever stop serving. Don't ever stop pouring in. Don't ever stop giving. And I'm fascinated by this season of life. There's young people in here right now that think, this isn't my time to do that. I got a lot of things to get established. I got to establish in relationships, establish in job, establish. And then you get there. And then you have this work season, and then at the end of it, you're like, okay, retirement, I'm just waiting for retirement. And then so it's like, this isn't the window in which we serve the Lord. This is the window that we serve, your life. From start to finish, serve and pour into. And I'm grateful for, I didn't get to be with Grandma on her last day, but I still, her memory, I don't think of her every day, but there are things that happen to me and things that are said, and I go, that was Grandma. Let that be true of you. Are you pouring into your kids? And this picture to me, I had Stephanie create this picture based off of a lot of the pictures I have of my grandparents with my children. You don't have a lot of time left. Would you take the time you have left and pour it into the ones who have time? I mean, would you make the most? Hey, some of you are like, man, I know my kids aren't near me. Would you sign up today to serve in Wildwoods and Critter Street? Would you start serving and take, you're like, man, all that thing you described about aging, I got it all. I can't get down on the ground with kids. We'll set you in a chair. There's plenty you can do to pour into other people as you walk along the way. We actually, I love to see people taking pictures of this, but we're going to give this to you on the way out. And on the back is Psalm 39, 4-5. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Would you make the most of the time that you have left? That's the message of aging ain't for wimps. Life is brief and fragile. Death is certain, but not the end. You, the memory of you, your name will be forgotten. But you're leaving a lot of deposits in the lives of other people. In the scripture, this is where we end with worship. My flesh and my heart may fail. And I do, man, I got it planned. I got one of the most impressive death scenes planned for my life that you have ever seen. I have thought this through. And my kids are like, you think about it way too much. I don't read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's talked about from cover to cover. That we would take the short time we have here to make the most of this. To invest and to pour into other people. My flesh, my heart may fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, and all God's people said. Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray together. As you are standing, as you leave today, you are going to get a truffle. And I made the argument that only moms get them, but then that seemed, you know, pretty stingy for a truffle. And for moms. So everybody gets one on the way out. But if you're a loving son, a loving daughter, a loving husband, you will give yours to mom and let her enjoy them all day. Guilt trip, you got it. We don't mind guilt trips with chocolate. Father, we are grateful for the time that you have given us. We're grateful for this day. I pray a blessing over every mom, over every grandmother. I pray a blessing over those who are about to become mothers. And today we as a family mourn with those who have tried to conceive. We mourn with those who have lost children. We mourn with those who have lost mom. They have lost grandma, and today is a day of remembrance for them. I pray that today is a day filled with those memories, but more than the memories, the deposits that were made, the lessons that were learned, and we're grateful. Before I say amen, if you've never placed faith in Jesus, some of you, as we talked about life and death today, there are sons and daughters in here that this is the day you come because mom, this is all she wants, you to be at church with her. And as we were talking through the scripture, she was thinking to herself, if my son continues to live the way he's living, he doesn't have 70 or 80 years. If my daughter continues down the path that she's on, there's no way she's going to make it till 70 or 80 years. And today is the day that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and make him the Lord of your life. So I encourage you, as we say amen, to come down, meet with someone from our prayer team. Many did after the first service, just for encouragement. If you're mourning, if you're rejoicing, if you need a prayer of salvation, come forward. And we say all of this in the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, amen. And love y'all. See you next Sunday.